Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you can trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes, better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the job.
Back to the Crab Feast, another Tuesday.
Yeah.
The Crab Feast for that half.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
You sound like you died.
We don't keep time. I almost did. But that might be one, if not the longest.
Of yours?
No, of ours together. I mean, just combined pitch touching all the
time. No way. You've done way longer than
that. I don't know about that.
Trust me. Because last time we touched pitches, you were like, dude, you almost had me there. And I was like, not even close. So in this one, I was like, well, let me see how close. And I'm telling you, there have been times where I bet you've gone 38 seconds.
Such a random time.
What do you think?
You know what? I'll tell you what. Last episode, we're going to do how long we can hold it. We'll just time it.
See how long we can hold it.
You better start.
How long do you think you can hold your breath underwater?
I can hold my breath underwater at least the amount of time I can do that. So maybe 30 seconds.
Do you remember when you were young, how long you used to be able to hold your breath underwater?
I do. I don't ever remember it being a minute or anything crazy like that at all. But I also the times that I wouldn't just focus on staying underwater, I would swim down, back, and down, you know. So you're underwater.
Yeah, well, my boy Franny Curran did that, and he popped a lung trying to impress his nephew.
That hurts my chest hearing that, dude.
Popped a lung. But I remember, like, in eighth grade, being on vacation and going under for a solid minute.
Really?
Yeah, holding it for a minute. We count, like, time and stuff. Maybe I'm wrong.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Seriously.
Well, Stella does that shit in the tub now where she'll lay on her face and go under.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, 18, 9. And I start getting nervous. You know, I start shaking her and shit. Like, Dre, I don't care about your damn record.
Well, dude, that at swim class, there's been times where, like, Reed's swimming across the pool, and then, like, he just stops, and, you know, he's got goggles on, so he's just looking, and then he's swimming, and then they're off doing something else, and they're like, all right, let's go, Reed. You know, and he's just like, and I'm like, what the? And then after class, we're like, you know, they can hold their breath forever at this age. Like, they can just go, and I'm like, all right, man, because you had me a little nervous there a couple times. They look around for all this stuff, they tap him on the head, like, all right, come get a breath. Go ahead. And he's like, lifts up, gets a breath, keeps going. You're like, Jesus, dude. Good to be here, Sickle Cell. Good to be here with you guys, as always. JLarsonComedy.com, JLarsonComedy on all social media. More than halfway done with this tour. Please, excited to see you next week in Philadelphia on the 7th, in D.C. on the 8th, Brooklyn on the 9th, Beantown on the 10th. New Hampshire on the 11th. I think New Hampshire's almost sold out. Get those Philly, D.C., Brooklyn. There's two shows in Brooklyn. They added a second show that night at 10 o'clock. And then Boston, get those tickets now because those are moving quick. And then after that, St. Louis, Tulsa, and Atlanta. Excited for all those. Those Atlanta's on the 17th. Go get those tickets. They're moving pretty quick. And I'm excited to be out there and see you guys. And I'm excited to get this thing done. Because then I get to just be home and chill in December, and I'm going to build bunk beds with the kids. I'm going to bake breads. Can't wait to bake breads. Oh, yeah.
Multiple breads?
Oh, all kinds.
Still bread.
I'm just going to bake and, like, turn
it's
on
like
the heat.
Deers and shrimps. It's deer,
breads,
shrimp,
man.
And bread.
We have all kinds of breads.
We have all kinds of bread.
I don't know. I think you can say breads.
I don't think you can.
Where's the bread section? Or where are the?
Wait, hold on now.
Yeah.
Where's the breads section?
No.
Where's the bread section?
I don't know. Where's the pasta section? Do you have different types of pastas?
We have a lot of different kind of pasta.
Okay.
I don't say pastas. You
but
don't
people
ask for that.
Do.
I mean, People say Valentine's Day. Okay.
Good point.
People say okay.
Either way, go to jlarsoncomedy.com. Get your tickets. Excited to see all you guys out there. You've been so supportive. I hope to see more of you on these next legs. Mr. Ryan Sickler.
See him on the next legs, guys. Ryan Sickler on Instagram and all social media, ryansickler.com. Baltimore, the love is mutual. Thank you so much. The Saturday, November 17th show is sold out. I added a second show Sunday.
That.
It's awesome. I added a second show Sunday, November 18th at 7:30. To all my cousins out there that hit me up and was like, the tickets are gone? I've been telling you for a fucking month to get them.
Good family, Lord. No wonder why you sold out.
I'll be happy now that they can get them on Sunday. But the Sunday tickets, November 18th, 7:30, are already moving fast. So I'm telling you, don't sleep. Get them now.
How many cousins do you think are going to show up for that and you're not even going to know they're your cousin? They're going to be like, yeah,
how many will come?
Six cousins, baby.
They'll be in the teens, but how many will I not know? I'll know all of them. There's a couple babies that are brand new. I don't know yet, but I'm going to get to know you kids. tickets are on my website and the Crab Feast and on all of my social media. And I'd like to also say my new album drops on November 20th. Tuesday, November 20th, as a matter of fact. I'm very proud of it. I'm going to keep letting you know that it's coming until it hits. And this is our last week.
What's the title?
It's called Get a Hold of Yourself.
And now, how many stories are... It's all stand-up, but, I mean, they're all stories.
Yeah, I went back as I've been listening to it and stuff, and I realized how many stories are... I don't know. I'd have like to really go back. I would
nine?
Say... Yeah, it's a lot of stories. I mean, just jokes... But a lot.
Well, I mean, there's jokes in all your stories.
Yeah,
but I mean, this is going to be. I mean, are the classics in there?
The stuff I've been working on for the last however many years that I didn't put on my other album is. I'm trying to get all of it on there.
Yeah, that's. I want to be done with F.
Yeah, I appreciate.
You guys got to get that.
I'm very proud of it. I've been back there sitting and laughing at shit in it, and that's. I know that's egomaniac. But
well, especially since
I enjoy it. I enjoy hearing the people respond.
Of course, especially since. You know, for us, we don't do as many stories anymore. We do more listening to other people's stories.
Yeah.
This is going to give everybody a chance to, like, hear sickle cell stories.
Well, also, you know, I told the story from Cocaine Alligator from Comedy Central and the Baltimore Colt story that
you'll
see
on
classics. Comedy Central. Yeah, but the reason I did it, and I know people are going to say something about it, is because, and I talked to, like, Bert Kreischer and Segura, and they were like, you know, if Comedy Central ever takes those videos, because we own the content, we don't own the video.
Yeah.
If Comedy Central ever decides to take This Is Not Happening off that website, that story exists nowhere.
Yeah. Well, listen, Bert Kreischer ain't going to back away from doing any story multiple times. But hey, when they're great stories, do them, you know, get them out there.
You got to put it on something that you have control over, or else it could go away and you never have.
And you never know where people are listening and not listening. Exactly. You know what I mean?
This is our last week of Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and you guys have been very generous. Thank you, as always. The FTCF and the Tuesday shirts are up on Bonfire. You can go now to thecrabfeast.com, order your shirts. They're on all Crab Feast social media, all our personal social media. I think it's like four or five different styles and then like different colors for each different style. It's so much great stuff.
Get over there and get yourself before you can't, because it's not looking at that campaigns. Those aren't going to last forever.
The Hey Hey Play is going to be the next one that goes up, and those three we'll try to run for as long as we can. They're not, as Jay said, permanent campaigns, so you better get it before it's gone.
If you are hiring, there are job sites that send you tons of wrong resumes to sort through. That's not smart. You know what's not smart? Using your relatives to fill in at work while you look for staff. You know what's not smart? Making the lottery the centerpiece of your retirement plan or letting your friends pick your karaoke song. But you know what is smart? Going to ZipRecruiter.com/crab to hire the right person. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates to finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and actively invites them to apply so you get qualified candidates fast. That's why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. This rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at our exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/crab. That's ZipRecruiter.com/crab. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And I'll tell you, the smartest people to trust to get good guests, Sickle Cell and LT over here. We're excited to have these guys. We want to throw one in here, those last 10 guests that we've never had on that were highly requested.
Absolutely.
Over the years. And we're excited to finally get them on. So many people asked for them. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome for the first time on
first
the Crab
time.
Feast, Dennison O'Neill!
Dennison O'Neill!
Welcome to the
welcome
Crab
to
Feast.
Welcome to the Crab Feast.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
I mean, thanks for having us, man.
Thanks for being here, gentlemen.
I think
thank
we've
you.
Only ever done multiple guests twice.
Well, we've had, you mean non-live shows, so we've had Sklar's.
Oh, the Sklar brothers. I don't really count them as multiple.
They're
they,
one.
They finish each other's sentences.
Natasha and
Moshe. And then Phil and Matt.
Phil and Matt.
Who are Phil and
that's
Matt?
Probably another one.
Writing duo. They okay. wrote a movie that I was in called The Invitation, and they wrote like Ride Along, and they wrote The Tuxedo. And
okay. Yeah. Great movie, by the way, Invitation.
Yeah, it was great,
seen
right?
it twice.
Crazy that me those too. Guys can write comedies and like thrillers.
Like
and
a legit horror movie.
Crazy, man. Those guys have skill.
Well, we're excited to have you here.
Glad
I know,
to get on, man.
The Feasters are stoked. Yeah, you used to slip right in before the bell, man.
Yeah, final well 10. Thank you yeah. for, we apologize for the slot taken to other people, but we're grateful to be
no,
here.
No, this is perfect, man. This is perfect.
Well, before we get into it, please promote
kind of three people if
everything
you count
and anything you want.
Danish's shoulders. You know what I mean? Like, do you see these shoulders?
Yeah.
It's insane. I go, what are you doing?
The guy's got
swimming.
A huge wingspan. He's like a John swimming. Jones style wingspan.
I do have long arms.
Do you have that cobra hood back there when you flex?
Yes, he does.
I don't know what that means.
The lats.
Oh, well, he's
Bruce Lee,
yeah,
Cobra Hood. That
big. Yeah, yeah, I've always had. I was a fat kid. But
I thought you were a swimmer.
I was, but I was a fat swimmer. I was good at swimming,
man,
but
that
also
kid's
overweight.
Fat. He can swim.
Hey, I'll tell you, I've seen fat coke addicts. I've never seen a fat swimmer.
It was the worst sport my parents could put because I wore the Speedo because I was like a competitive swimmer. So you're basically naked.
Yeah.
And I had titties. Like as a so like. You're just there for everyone to see, make fun of, and even
were you the kid they'd all line up next to and go, "Oh shit, I ain't coming in last."
But then I would whip
him. Dude, he was on a swim team at 4.
No, but then they would have to go back to their parents, like you lost to that fat fucking
like,
kid.
Yeah.
Would you have dominated if you weren't fat?
I think the fatness may have been a key.
Do you think the titties dragged
buoyancy,
you down?
Wait, buoyancy
and cold temperatures
you'd
never
beat
bothered
a
me.
One, or you take like first out of 6 racing? Like, were you how
no,
good
I,
were you?
No, I was on my real. Race team won. We were the best in New England. I don't know what year it was.
Where, what spot were you out of the 4?
I think I was 3rd.
This
was not the anchor.
And what age are we talking here? 6?
I think it was like 10 at the time.
All right, okay, that's a little more
10,
credible.
11. But I quit at 12. Credible. I was out of the game quick. 4-12, and I was out.
Did you pack on the pounds after you quit?
Yeah. What's that?
Did you pack on the pounds after you
the
quit?
The pounds were always, they were constant.
the pounds were packing themselves up.
Yeah. Swimming or no swimming, they were there, and they were there to stay.
You burn like thousands of calories swimming.
And I guess I must have been eating multi-thousands to keep them on.
Multi-thousands.
Did you have like a Michael Phelps-style diet at 4?
He had to have.
I think at 4, I wasn't quite so fat. My mom said when I went to school, the stress of school, I started packing them on. I'd come home and just stress eat.
Stress eat.
Smoking butts.
Yeah.
What did you have, like, three lunch trays that you were just fucking pounding?
She should have just given you apples and shit. You would have been fine.
She was like, I blame myself. I let it go. I let it get out of control. Some people put on the freshman 15. I had the first grade 40 or whatever.
First grade 40.
Dude, that's because what was the, was it anxiety over school, like being around other kids?
No, I was a good student. I had these teachers who, they were like the last of like the nun generation.
Oh, yeah.
And so they were like, they wouldn't hit us or anything, but like if you couldn't read or like my handwriting to this day is bad.
Come on, fat boy!
Yeah. There were two teachers.
What would they do? Motorboat your titties if you didn't know what to
there were two teachers who shared one giant classroom, and they had like a fucking partition.
Oh, yeah.
And you could tell they were, even as a kid, you're like, they're a couple. There's no way.
Oh, yeah.
And my mom later was a substitute teacher at this school. These ladies were married to dudes. All 4 of them lived in the same house.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
And then the husbands both died, and then the women... just like live together.
Do you think that
what?
Maybe you walked in?
Hold on.
We got to investigate.
Yeah.
I think fucking
there may have been some foul play.
Suspicious as a motherfucker right
you
there.
You know that when the first one died, the wives were like, oh shit, it's happening.
Yeah, this is it. We were waiting.
How did they die?
I don't know.
4 women, all married.
2 women.
2 women.
2 women. Married to men.
4
two
guys.
Married to men.
Two guys.
That's what 4 was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it now. I thought it was 4 women. and two dudes, and the four ladies attacked. But just two, just two women.
You're setting
did.
Up like a Cinemax movie.
That's just that, that is
an orgy.
I wonder if, did you have them as teachers at, when the men died?
To be honest, I don't know the timetable of when.
Because I wonder if they like loosened up a little. Like, imagine if like after they died, they came in and like, you know what? That's fine. No, it looks great. Looks great.
One of them looked like.
Rain on a curve from now on, everybody.
One of them looked like Gene Shalit.
Wait, the lady did?
Yeah. Say, like, if you put the stash on, yeah. She's Gene Shalit.
That big ass bushy.
The big fro and the glasses. And they saw my. They would split the class up. And if you had bad handwriting, like, they're like.
Wait, so they're really sticklers for handwriting.
Oh, yeah, they'd be like, these people get to watch a movie. But.
Oh.
And then I'd have to fucking go on the other side of the room, which my brother is 3 years older, had to go on that other side of the room, too.
But fat Danish.
Yeah. Go work on your fucking handwriting by yourself, fat boy. And they ran into my mom years later, and they said, how's Jeff's handwriting? She said, I'm sorry.
What is their obsession with the fucking handwriting?
She said, it's still bad. And this lady was like beside herself that she didn't reach me. She didn't get through to me.
Maybe they should have focused on them candy bars.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that would have helped too.
Give us some social media, whatever. Plug it all, please.
Check us out on the Danish and O'Neill podcast. It's also Danish and O'Neill Twitter. You can see Ryan O'Neill at Ryan O'Neill Comedy on Instagram.
My own Twitter is at the Jeff Danis, work in progress.
Oh, and the Danish and O'Neill are going to be at the Bell House in New York City on November 11th, 8 o'clock, for Ari Shaffir's 350th Skeptic Tank episode.
Great. That's awesome.
It's a live reading of Ari's childhood script that he wrote called Shooter.
Shut
He wrote it on Microsoft Word, by the way.
Shut up.
When he was amazing. When he was at the University of Maryland, actually.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Went to school.
That's amazing.
And so come out and see us. We will be there.
Yeah. If it's good enough, it might get picked up by a studio.
I bet that's going to be a blast.
It's going to be fun, I think. There's some names, I think, who are going to be reading the parts.
There's some good parts that are getting filled right now by Ari. And we'll be there to judge the structure and the
You're judging?
Writing.
That's fantastic.
We'll break down the script for you, see where he went wrong.
Sure.
And I think it's going to be a lot of places.
Yeah.
That's great.
Interior. You know what I don't like about this, Ari? All right,
yeah.
We haven't even started.
The bad part is I have to reread that script, and I think you do too. And it is not a good script to have to reread, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I wrote one in college for, what was the Anthony Clark? Boston Common?
Boston Common.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So in one of my classes, I wrote, that was my first script I wrote for.
You wrote like a spec for it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was the class?
It was a script writing class.
For TV, or could you pick like whatever format?
I think we had a bunch of assignments, and that was the TV script. You didn't get this to write. You know, had to write a bunch of
Everyone
shit.
Everyone else is doing like NYPD Blue and
yeah,
shit.
Exactly.
Like, no, I like yeah, this, exactly. This Tony Clark.
I loved him, man.
That
he's
show
great,
was great.
Dude. He was great.
What'd you get on it? Good grade?
I got a good grade. I wouldn't say it was an A. It was a B. I would love. That's why I'm saying you made me think of that. I'd like to go back and reread it and be like, oh, this is fucking terrible.
Oh, you should.
You might read it and be like, and take it out and pitch it and sell it.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, we
it's a show. It's like Boston. Remember that show?
Remember Boston Common? It's just like that.
When we first got together, we decided to write a spec script for the Lizzie McGuire show. You remember that on Disney?
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck
a Disney show.
We started to write like an edgy Lizzie McGuire, and it turned out it was like. I think the premise was that Lizzie's parents weren't paying attention to her, so she decided to go fuck have anal sex with the star basketball player. What was his name?
I don't remember his name. It was a little out there. And our other spec was the Wonder Years. And the people were like, wait, you want to write comedy? Why are you writing? And the Wonder Years is off the air. And we were like, oh, yeah.
Oh, but we really
like
that.
And there was
show.
Like a training montage of all of her friends, like getting her asshole ready to fuck this guy. It's insane.
Wait, where do you.
It didn't go that well.
No,
in terms of people reading it.
We thought, hey, this will get us noticed.
Was there anal in the. Other script?
The Wonder Years?
Yeah.
Wonder Years was a straight...
Yeah, it was a real...
That was hard to write because that's a dramatic show.
It was like sad. It was like Kevin...
That show used to make me cry all the time.
Oh, this script was like that. It was like Kevin's dad made him hang out with his boss's like shitty son, and he was real mean to him, and then the son gets hit by a car. After Kevin was like a total dick to him.
And dies.
And so then, no.
Yeah. He killed him in the fucking spec.
And then Kevin has to like deal
Poor kid trying to get insurance and shit. He's a one and done.
Oh, yeah. Didn't he? He took one of his baseball cards. And he had chocolate all over his fingers. And it was like some prize. So at the end, Kevin puts the ruined baseball card in the coffin at the wake.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
No, I like that.
What did he say? You just turned my...
It was, I think, Mickey Mantle into...
into a Willie Mays.
Right, well, yeah. Maybe that, you know...
Well, at the time, you could get away with it.
You think you could on Wonder Years?
Yeah. I mean, it was also a little edgier. But
the show wasn't on the air anymore, so.
But it was a heartfelt thing. If Netflix ever brings back Wonder Years,
oh shit,
we're gonna be submitting this thing.
I think I told Fred Savage because I worked at a gym and he would come in there with a trainer, and I was like, "Hey, man,
I
wrote a spec for Wonder Years," and he was like, "So not into it," and also like, "Why?"
Yeah,
and I was like, "I don't know, I like the show," and he's like, "But it's not on anymore," and I was like. Yeah, I don't like.
I thought it was like a five minute back and forth where you're trying to explain it to him. And he's like, I don't understand why you fucking write this.
Just kept being like, yeah, I don't get it.
Every time I tell people, they keep saying that, man.
You should have been like, dude, I work at a gym, man.
Yeah,
you see the
clearly not going well for me.
Also, he's a bad tipper, so fuck him.
Fred Savage?
Yeah.
How do you know
that? Used to work at Yummy. Or, well, I probably should have said it, but this grocery place that we worked at, we used to deliver to him and his brother. His other brother from what was the
Ben, the Wizard and Boy Meets World.
Yeah, Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
So you worked at a food delivery, like a, what is
Yum? It was full
what,
grocery.
Can we say the name or not?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
So what
matter.
Is
what do you
Yum?
Think they're gonna do?
No, they'll probably love us.
A Pink Dot delivery or bigger, like a real grocery delivery.
It's bigger than Pink Dot now. Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it's full grocery store, like whatever you want. You can get alcohol, you can get produce.
But
get
do they
sandwiches.
Have a brick and mortar, or are you just going to Ralph's and getting the shit people
No,
want?
They have their own store, but no one would go into it. It was like basically a warehouse.
That's like the Pink Dots everywhere else other than Sunset.
Because legally, I think you have to have a brick and mortar to do a delivery, but also you don't want people coming in there while
so
you're
So what's this
up.
A front for? What do you think? This cocaine? What are they?
No, this
what's
guy's like
Yummy
legit.
Running?
Mm-hmm. This guy's legit, dude.
It's got a bunch of stores you can't come in them. Nobody can come in.
And we ain't open.
We're sending it out.
No, their thing was like, why sell this shit? Like, because they would come in, they had a deli. So they like people who work there would come in and get these sandwiches that were fucking crazily overpriced. They were good. But they're like, they wanted the delivery fee. So they're like, why? They're like, we don't want to cater to these fucking.
They made it very unappealing to walk in there.
Yeah, they'd be like, you can wait. Like, we're filling orders. Like, you can just sit there.
One of the greatest scenes ever. Remember in 40-Year-Old Virgin when Jonah Hill goes into the eBay shop and he wants to buy those roller skates?
Yeah, you have to bid on them on eBay?
Yeah, when he goes, yeah, I want to buy these roller skates. And she's like, oh, yeah, you can't buy them here. And he's like, yeah, but I want to. Why can't I buy them now? And she goes, well, you know, these are for eBay. People buy them on eBay. He goes, but I have the money right here. It's so good, too. You guys never seen that movie? Yeah.
I did. I do not recall that scene.
I do remember that scene.
It's been a long time.
Great scene.
It's been too long.
There was an eBay store by me when I lived in Sherman Oaks, and for shits and giggles, I went in, and I was like, will you just, you'll sell it? And they're like, we'll guarantee a sale. And I was like, what's your cut? And I think it was something like 65 they took. I was like, get the fuck out
Wait,
of here.
What'd you
percent.
Say? 65 fucking percent.
They were doing all the work and guaranteeing a sale, and they were like, we're going to take 65%. I was like, not of this shit, you're not.
Dude, that's fucking insane.
It's insane.
I've never
I
even
think
heard
it's
of
100% fair.
Why?
Have you ever sold anything on eBay?
Not on eBay, no.
Okay. On Craigslist?
Yes.
Yeah. Was it at all time consuming?
No.
I think it's... I've tried it. I've done it. It's way time consuming. You got to post. You got to answer these people. Some people come look at it, then they don't want it. Then you got to go somewhere else. eBay, you're dealing. I think for 9 out of 10 people, they would much rather take all this shit that they would just donate, give it to someone at eBay, and be like, yeah, whatever, dude. Can you give me $80?
I don't know, man. 65%? Mm. I mean, at least.
That's why I go to the Rose Bowl. I'm not giving up 65%.
When was the last time you went to the Rose Bowl?
That's a good
Four years ago.
4 years ago. And before that?
probably 2-3 years before. I've done it like five times.
Five times. Mm-hmm. So once every 3 or 4 years, you gather everything up and you that's go out there right. and you make your $300 and
I made $650 last time.
$650, son.
Yeah, that's more than eBay.
Put that out over the months.
What are you selling for $650?
Shit. I take whatever I have and I want to get rid of stuff. I go, I make a day out of it. I have fun. I sell shit. And then whatever I don't sell, I hit swing by Goodwill.
Last time you sold hot dogs, man.
Last time I sold the table, I brought the shit. I took his truck and I sold the table. I brought the shit, you know, to put the shit on. I sold everything.
Jesus, everything. This guy's the best salesman ever.
He got an offer on his truck.
Every
he sold, that was my truck, and he didn't come back.
It was his truck.
My brother-in-law used to do it.
I could have sold that thing there. I could have sold that.
My brother-in-law loves selling shit on Craigslist. He used to drive around at night. And people would throw like couches and shit away or tables, and then he'd pick them up, put them on there, and he would sell them for like $30.
Well, yeah, it's a lot of work. I met these dudes. Where was I the other day? Oh, they were at a hotel in Portland, and we started talking, and they were like Swedish or something. They're like, oh, yeah, we're heading to LA. I'm like, oh, what do you guys do? They're like, oh, we're in fashion. I'm like, oh, that's cool. What are you doing in LA? And they're like, we're going to the swap meet at the Rose Bowl.
Like, does that count as being in fashion?
Well, I think they go and they look for trends and they look for things you know, people are into. Rye was saying like denim goes like crazy over there.
People sprint in the morning. They come looking for musical instruments and denim and leather. And
like,
I mean,
like
they are
old school denim or like, say like a pair of jeans.
No, like the kind you could trade in Russia for a Volkswagen. That, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like vintage Levi's. And they will sprint because you can get in increments. You can get in at like, I think it's 7 a.m. for $20 and then 10 a.m. for like 15 and then noon for, you know.
Yeah.
If you blow a guy 5 a.m.
you can get there for
sun up.
We call that sun up. When the Muslims are praying to Mecca, they're all out there doing that. Everybody's it's a fucking scene, man. It's a scene.
The people selling the jeans know what they have or are they idiots? They know what they have.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So there'll be a dude next to you with 3,000 belts on blankets and he's selling belts. He's just a belt guy or a shoe guy or whatever. But they're also at a point where they come in, they hang up the garment racks, and boom, here's all my bell bottoms here. So they come sprinting through, and they're yelling. People are still setting up, and they'll be like, "Let me look through this," and then off they go. But yeah, he's right.
Jesus, I got to get in the counterfeit jean business.
But you know, your people are bringing shit out of the '50s, the '60s, or they'll go around and collect shit like your brother. They might not necessarily sell that pissed fucking soaked couch straight up. They might reupholster it, then sell it for a good chunk. You know,
I went there once when I first moved out here, and I was like, "I've seen enough. I don't need to make any return visits."
The best thing to do is sell. You're in one fucking spot. You're not walking around that.
I didn't know it was still going on.
Oh, yeah, that's never going
to
happen.
You ever go to the Pomona swap meet?
No, I only go to that one. I've been to the Fairfax, too, you know.
Oh, they have a swap meet over there?
Yeah, the high school in that parking lot's a pretty solid one. Dude, it's where
I've been to that
Anthony Kiedis and Flea met at that school.
Jesus, the riffraff that the fucking swap meet brings about.
Isn't Flea's last name Market?
I'm pretty sure it is. I'm sure you're right.
Yeah, I got to go. It's not going to get
Thanks
better than that, guys.
Here, man.
It's not going to get
that mic.
Yeah.
I wish.
Well, this is our Halloween episode, and we asked you before we started if you guys had some Halloween episodes, and you fucking said, I used to be a ghost hunter.
Like, that's true.
I mean, were you
what
paid
does that
for
mean?
It?
Well, yeah,
was
on TV?
Like a professional?
Or?
No, I was just like an amateur. Just like
now he's an amateur.
A ghost enthusiast.
He already demoted himself.
Now he's an enthusiast.
So
you went from a hunter to an enthusiast.
Very fast.
From the guy that kills shit to the guy that looks at it on the wall. Like, that's nice.
That could be a ghost.
You didn't hold up to the interrogation well at all. You're like,
no. What? We didn't even get into it.
Yeah.
No, he went.
No. How did all this come about?
I grew up in a motel for 10 years, and then we moved into my grandparents' house.
Wait, where was this motel?
It was in Indiana.
Okay.
It was a little motel.
And why?
Did you own it or were you poor?
No, we
both.
We owned it. We were the proprietors of the establishment.
Both is true.
It's a motel.
We owned and ran
what
the
room
place.
What room did you all live in? Like six?
Well,
what
my brother
house?
And I slept in room 13, but it wasn't room 13
Lucky
at 13, the time.
Man.
It was later turned into room 13 after
did you
they
really?
Didn't need that room anymore. So
Wait. So from what age to 1 till 10?
From 0.
From birth. You were born
10,
in a motel?
Yeah.
And did initially you live in a motel? There was no like housekeeper's house?
Yeah, so there's an office and a door marked private. You open that door, and it's our living room.
Okay.
And then so it's like this apartment
private
attached.
For a reason. Like, don't wander in there.
Don't go in there, man.
And children. Then my dad got crafty, so he took one of the trailers, because we also had a small trailer park in the back, and he took the trailer, hauled it up, and then cut a hole in the side of the house that attached the trailer to the house. So now we've just doubled our
just
square footage.
He's out there gluing it.
And then my mom finally goes, I can't live with a fucking trailer attached to the house anymore.
It wasn't really. It sounded more like it was shoved through the side, not attached to the fucking house.
Can I ask you a question? When you were living in that room 13 with your bro, how often did you have to go to the office and get a new card because the magnetic strip was gone?
Oh, magnetic strip. Are you kidding me, dude? These were all metal keys. Dude, this was rooms were like, I want to say $10 or $11 a night. Back then, when I was a kid.
Jesus. And are you just watching, like, people come in and fuck and do drugs and, you know, what's going on? Everything has to be going on in a motel.
In the 80s, like, when you're driving around in the 80s, like, you would stay in a little motel.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I've stayed in plenty.
You didn't get as many nefarious characters. You still got a lot coming in. But then the 90s, it started getting worse because everybody went to, like, you know, Best Western, Holiday Inn, stuff like that. So, but I remember when my brother and I were ripping up carpet once, we found like a little white rock, and my brother was like, I dare you to lick it. It turned out it was a crack rock. We didn't know it at the time. It was a crack rock.
O'Neal, did you lick it?
He's been hooked on crack since six.
I smoked it. I didn't lick it. I knew what it was.
Yeah, what the fuck? He sold it at the swap meet.
Yeah, I mean, we found it. you would always hear people fucking. And we also had pornos that played at night through the rooms. So then we would watch, like, you know, we watch in Dallas with the family. And then a commercial would come on, and my dad would be like, close your eyes. We got to check the porno to see. Because the porno tape was in the basement. You'd have to change the tape out.
That was master control down there?
Yeah. So he would turn it on to see if the porno was still running or if he needed to change the tape. So, of course, I'm like, you know,
when anyone says close your eyes as a kid, you're like, let me, yeah, okay.
I love it if you're just watching TV and you just hear, what the hell is going on? Like, guys, I got to go change the
And some guy's like, I'm in the middle of doing something here.
Two more minutes for the money shot. What's going on with JR?
That was the old school. That was the 80s buffering was the porno.
Yeah.
The master tape is out.
We had guys that picked, though. There was a couple guys who came just for the porno. And there
literally
was one dude who used to bring a list every week of, like, these are the movies that I would like to see tonight. And so he was the only guy requesting movies, so we just gave him those movies. I mean, other people were watching, but nobody was like...
So one VCR downstairs split to how many rooms?
A VHS and a beta. So we had a...
Made sure you had
to back it up with that beta.
Because we had a couple hundred porno movies, and about 50% were beta.
Where did he acquire them, by the way?
It's a good question. I don't even know.
Probably
Chicago.
Shit like that.
Because for a while, porno was illegal in Indiana and Valpo. So I probably went to Chicago to go buy it.
So it's split to how many different rooms?
So you had a descrambler that we would give to the good customers, and you would unscrew the cable. And then you would screw this in the back of the TV and screw the cable on, and that would allow you to access the porno because it was illegal, so we didn't want to get busted.
Would the guy look at his wife and kids and be like, look at this. I'm in here. They're going to give me the porno to scramble.
Trust me. They like me. We're going to watch porno tonight. Listen. They know me.
What's the name of the motel?
It was called the Valparaiso Motel.
How many rooms?
Man, what do we – well, including trailers that we divided up into rooms because we had three trailers – and then
when you say trailer, I mean some of these trailers are really fucking nice.
Yeah,
they look like a small rancher.
These are like old trailers. They're like the floors are all warped and stuff.
These are like standstill. There's no wheels on them.
These are double wides. These are like 1960s levels. Yeah, single wides.
Like, here's a kerosene heater. Good luck tonight.
I mean, it was all pilot lights, but the problem is, like, I would have to go check the pilots a lot because you didn't want people dying in there of asphyxiation.
Yeah.
So you would divide my dad.
Yeah, they're going to die of some other shit in that.
Oh,
some
they
others
did.
Are staying there. Yeah, do you have that bottle? Wait, we'll come back to that.
Yeah. So then my dad, he was a pretty handy guy. He just divided them into, like, three separate rooms in one trailer. One trailer, he did four. And then we had 12 rooms up front. For some reason, we didn't have a room 12. We only had a room 13, which most hotels don't have a room 13.
Yeah, you're the only one skipping 12 to get to 13. They did things their own way.
A little bit. And you guys occupied how many of those rooms?
Well, we just had, I mean, when my brother and I, we just occupied one room. Room private. Number 11 also had a door into our house, but somebody once was staying at 11 and then walked into our house. So they put a carpet on the wall.
I love you keep calling it a house, man. I love that.
They're like, oh, I want to join this family. I just went from room 11 to a nice family home.
Every time great. I fucking hear this, better. It makes me feel even better about where I live and how I don't need to provide like crazy shit for my child.
But it was great because we had go-karts and we had motorcycles and we'd just drive around the parking lot. It was on like 3 acres.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there was woods in the back, so we didn't know any better.
I mean, I was talking to someone recently about this, and when you're that little, you don't care about anything. All you know is, this is my home,
yeah.
This is where I live, and it's mine.
Yeah.
And, like, my kids don't know that we rent that damn place, and they don't know that, you know, other people are living in giant homes. They just love their yeah. home. Mm-hmm. It's where their bed is, it's where their toys are, and it's where their family is. So,
I mean,
that's awesome.
Here's the hitch. We also... So we live there. And obviously, since your home is your business, and business was pretty good. So we also had a brand new Porsche in 1980.
A 944?
911.
Ooh.
911 Targa. 911 SC Targa.
That's a good Porsche.
Because we had some...
What color?
It was Casablanca beige.
I thought you were going to say 918 or something.
They originally had a 79 in green that had fallen off the truck, and the dealership didn't tell them. So they had to have like a lawsuit. And so... They got their money back and then some, and then got a 1980.
That's when Carfax probably came. They're like, wait, shit like this is happening. We need something to check this shit out.
So people would actually look out their window because my dad built a small shed that we called the Porsche shed. And then you see my dad driving through the backyard in a new 911.
They're like, wait, these motel rates aren't as good as we thought. This guy's getting a Christ. Porsche.
Because, I mean, back then, like, we were full every single night. We had our overhead was, you know, just what you would be paying in a mortgage. So it was just... Basically, you're living rent free almost, and yeah, I mean, the money was just like coming in. Like,
did you ever see any dead bodies or anybody ever
yeah.
die there?
A lot of people,
a lot of people.
I was just telling this story.
How many were suicides?
When my brother was going to school, we also had geese on the property, and my brother had to let the geese out in the morning. And I think he was probably like maybe he was second grade, but he found a guy in a car. Who had run a hose from the exhaust pipe into the window. Oof. And he was staying in one of our trailers, and he was dead. And it turns
out... You can clean six! Put the vacancy sign up!
But the guy had AIDS. This was probably like 83. So he's like one of the first guys. You know, no one knew. Like, remember, that's when AIDS, they thought you'd get
for
it from
sure.
handshakes and shit. So my mom had to clean out the guy's trailer. And she's like, don't come in here. I don't want you guys to get AIDS. And so it was a tense situation. We yeah. all thought we were going to get AIDS. Like, for like a year,
yeah, right,
we thought
yeah,
there's still a chance that we might get AIDS.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, and then my mom would often have
Who'd
me...
Who'd you rent it to next?
They're like, it's a great room.
It was there until... that trailer was still standing until 09 when they sold it and bulldozed
here
it.
At the bottom of the contract. Yeah, don't worry about that.
Wait, they sold it in 09?
In 09, yeah. They tried to sell it for 20 years. It was for sale.
Jesus. With the Porsche?
No, Porsche had been long gone after that.
All right, man. So wait a minute. How many other dead bodies did yeah. you see?
There was quite a bit. I remember one time my dad...
Give me a number. Are we talking like 12 or are we talking like 6?
I would
or 12
say,
a year?
I would say there was probably at least 10.
Okay.
One a year.
One, my dad was on the phone with a guy's wife and she hadn't heard from him in a while. So my dad went to go check on him and he's literally on the phone and he opens the... room and the guy's laying there and he's clearly dead and she goes is he in there? And he's like, yeah, I'll have to call you back.
Never a good sign.
Yeah. And she's like, what's wrong? He's like, oh, nothing, I'll call you back. And the guy had been in there for like 3 days.
Oh,
and so it was bad. A couple times my mom had gone, like, knocked on a door and she's like, this guy's not answering, will you go check? And so I would go in there and I'd be like, oh, he's dead.
And how old?
I was probably like, it was like early high school.
Oh,
even
so
up
you
until I was
there?
Into my like early 20s, too.
Oh, where do you guys live after 10?
Oh, yeah.
You got a house?
Oh, then we got a house about a mile away, my grandparents' old house. So
oh, but
we
you
went...
still owned it, the motel then?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. That was our and then,
family business.
So my mom ran that, and my dad ran the family farm after that. So we had a farm that we
How many
run.
Acres?
It was 860 something.
Cattle? What were we doing? Hay?
We had cattle. We had 120 head of cattle. We had pigs. A lot
Relocate
of pigs at
those
one point.
Geese. Did you bring the geese with you?
No, but we got wild turkeys, pheasant, and quail that we'd raise to reintroduce so we could hunt them.
And did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My brother was a big hunter, and so my grandfather and my dad, and we had bird dogs and stuff like that. So so we had two basically 24-hour a day businesses. So like you know, I wish that we had a 9-to-5 job, because you couldn't go on vacation and stuff without it. Was tough.
And everyone was chipping in. Clearly, you're checking on the dead bodies.
Clearly.
And is that I started taking over the porno duty.
Did you?
No, I wish. I mean, I would take the tapes and stuff. I still have a couple. Actually, when we cleaned it out in 09, my mom's like, do you want any of these porno tapes? Because there was like 200 porno tapes. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm good.
A lot of sentimental value in a bunch of those films.
You know what I mean?
So how does this lead you to amateur ghost hunt? Wait, amateur ghost enthusiast.
Enthusiast.
Thank you.
Enthusiast.
No, he was a professional enthusiast.
His enthusiasm,
my enthusiasm was that
unmatched.
Of a professional.
Yeah, never seen before.
But I wanted to maintain my amateur status because I think there's more enjoyment in that.
When? So you could go pro after college.
No, I never wanted to go pro.
Never?
So we moved into an old house that my grandparents lived in. And in town, my grandparents moved out to the farm and they sold us their house.
So we talk an old farmhouse, like 1800s?
This is
like that?
1900. It was huge. It was like 7,200 square feet. And it was like an entertainment place. Like in the giant living room, they had a bell in the carpet at the head of the table, and you would push it with your foot, and it would ring the servants
Damn.
In the kitchen.
This was your...
This is where we moved from the motel.
Oh, wow,
from the motel. We go...
Moving
literally
on
Beverly Hills Billy style. We go from the motel to the mansion in town on like a historic street. And so then I was convinced the place was haunted, because there was this little window on the third floor in the attic. And if you go into the attic to get to that window, there was like this giant steel, or I don't know, it was a lead pole pushed against this door. And when you opened it up, there was this little chair that was just looking out the window. And so
it was there when you got there?
It was there when I got there.
Could you get it out?
Like, I didn't want to touch it.
But was the pole at a way that you couldn't fit the chair out?
It was no, you could take the pole from the outside. It was almost like it was keeping something inside.
Right.
It was, that's how it was wedged up against there.
Oh.
And it was a small door. It was about like half the size of a regular door.
I don't like small doors.
My friend had the same type of house. It's actually for sale right now. They just posted on Facebook the other day. It's long been out of their family, but someone's like, hey, look what's for sale. And it's a historic house. I think it's like Napoleon's brother married someone in this house, and it goes back. Wait, deep.
This is East Coast,
mm-hmm. Maryland, okay.
And they have a lot.
It's deep, and it was always creepy shit. And that attic's where we would play music all the time, and there was always something weird or cold
a lot,
creepy
man.
Going on in there. Always,
especially in winter, man.
My friend's wife just texted me the other night and said, "My husband, I grew up with him." I'm trying to convince him to buy Eric's old place, but he says it's haunted. I think that's bullshit. And I wrote back, it's 100% fucking haunted. I've almost shit myself a few times.
I'm with you, man. Because I used to sleep on the third floor. And
you slept in the attic?
No, so we had two bedrooms, and then we had a full attic up on the third floor. And, I mean, there was nights where I would wake up, and then I would just feel like just insane cold. Ugh. And I mean, stuff where I would be afraid, I would just face the wall because I would be afraid to like turn over to see the other side. Yeah. And, you know, stuff in the bay. There was always weird shit going on. But like our town, too, always had a lot of folklore about every town does, you know, about creepy shit. And so I used to go
how,
explore
like,
that stuff.
The only guy who moved out of a motel into a mansion is like, I wouldn't mind going back. To where
I'll
all the dead
I,
bodies
I'll
are.
I'll tell you what I missed.
He's like, at least I know the ghost there. I saw the guy die. So I'm like, hey, Phil, stop fucking with
God,
me.
God knows who, whatever they built. I think they built a bank on that motel. That bank is definitely haunted because of the fucking shit that motel saw. I mean, yeah, I feel bad
so
for them.
So did you start like ghost hunting in your home first?
I thought we said hunted.
Did you get enthusiastic about it in your home?
That was probably the only place he got enthusiastic about
my
it.
My mom started watching horror movies with us when we were really young. Like, we watched The Omen when
they
I was probably
did a good job,
young.
You know what I mean? Showing you porn, checking out dead bodies.
They were checking off all the boxes.
Good Lord.
A scary one.
So I really got, like, obsessed with... And also, I was just a scared kid. Like, I would, you know... They would tell me to go to bed, and I would wait on like the second set of stairs until like my brother would come to bed before I would go upstairs and stuff. So I was always like, But I liked it. I liked the rush of it, too.
Yeah, let me explain something to you, okay? That's not a scared kid. That's what any human being would be doing in a haunted home, dude.
Yeah.
If I lived in a haunted home, I'd be like, fuck that. I'll wait right here.
Even if I was this age I am now, I'd wait for somebody else
to come up. No one has seen dead bodies at a young age. You know what I mean? If I'd seen dead bodies, it would make everything scarier.
Most people don't see dead bodies in the wild. Like, you go to like a wake and you see it, and you see a dead body. But you don't see a dead body like, oh, that guy's dead in a room. You know what I mean?
To us, it just seemed normal. Like, I mean, look. So it was like, my dad was a pretty intense guy. Like, he got into a lot of, there was a lot of shit going on. So, I mean, like, when we were like on the farm.
No. You don't just say my dad was pretty intense and like this was going on and goes, you know, there was a lot of shit going on.
Well, you could do three seasons of this show on his dad alone. His dad is a legend.
Yeah, he's like he was so he's like a total nut. So one time, this will kind of sums him up. So one time they had built a Walgreens next to our motel. And so you would have to kind of people would be pulling out and then the turn in for our motel was right there. So sometimes people would be pulling out and you'd be trying to get the motel and you would cut them off or they'd cut you off. One time my dad cut this guy off and the guy honked or gave my dad the finger and my dad like, fuck you. So the guy follows him to the motel and then the guy gets out of the car. He's like, what's your fucking problem? And my dad sees that he's reaching into his waistband.
Uh-oh.
But my dad always had about three guns laid about his truck. Mm-hmm. And he was like a hoarder. So there was just newspapers and shit. So if you dug deep enough, you would find a weapon.
He's looking around. He's like, I know it's somewhere.
There's
here.
Something
God
in
damn
there.
It.
So he pulled out. So he took his gun out and he got out of the car, but he didn't go up to the guy. The guy has a lady on the passenger seat and he takes the gun and puts it to the lady's head. And the
Your
lady's
dad?
Like moving around like this. And he goes,
Wasn't it a BB gun though? Was that or no?
Yeah. It ended up being a BB gun. So he goes, if you have a gun, you better pull it out and shoot me because I'm about to blow this bitch's head off.
Holy
And the guy's like, and the lady says,
I just want to run, man. I just want to run. I left my slippers. Jesus Christ.
But that was always my dad's move with that. Like, at one time, he.
That was his move.
Strong dad, play. Big dude. What was he, six?
He was like,
six?
6'6". Yeah, he played basketball at Purdue.
Oh, he did?
And so, but he was that guy. You know, they say, like, you know, guys are like, if you shoot me, you better kill me because I'll come back. Well, that was him. He one time confronted these four dudes that were hunting on our land. They all had guns. He didn't have anything. And the guy's like, you better stop talking to us like that. You realize we have guns. He goes, if you shoot me, you better kill me. Because if you don't, I'm going to come back. I'm going to rape all your wives.
Shit. Holy Jesus.
Checkmate. Right. They're like, we either shoot this guy or we walk away. There's really no option.
He almost killed me once when we were doing... we had a big granary, and you would have to shovel grain, and then trucks would come in, and then they would empty the grain into the trucks. Well, he told me to go up there and shovel it, so I'm shoveling it, but he didn't tell me that a semi was coming to load up. So they start loading up, and you get sucked down into the grain. It's called walking the grain. It's a pretty common way. Well, not common, but if you're going to die, it's usually that way. So
as it's pulling through the funnel,
I start going down.
Sucked in.
And the last minute, I grabbed a rafter by
Holy
my one hand
shit.
As this shit goes down. And I go, hey, what the fuck?
Like
my
Duke
dad's
boy.
Like, oh, sorry about that.
Sorry about that.
You ever seen A Quiet Place? That almost happens in that movie.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
By the way, if you get caught, like, if you go up to your waist in grain, if they try to pull you out, they would rip you in half. That's how much pressure is on that. Like, if in that granary, if you walk into like a grain bin and you go in the middle and you sink up to your waist,
so you're calling bullshit on A Quiet Place.
There's no way to get you out from that.
I mean, they might be able to like figure out a way to kind of dig or you know try to maintain your
level.
But
it's not just pull you out.
It's not just pull you out. There's that much pressure on it all.
Damn.
So it's pretty fucking dangerous.
That's why my dad shot my brother. There's like, my brother was in there. My dad shot him. Yeah. He's like, hey, we lost him in the grain.
Cut
him in the grain. We're going to have to shoot your brother.
Cut him in half. Cut him in half and fucking suture the wounds. We'll be all right.
We'll keep his upper half alive.
So, and he had a bit of a wild temper. He once chased us through a cornfield with an axe. That's kind of Halloween related.
Yeah,
I guess that's
kind of around.
I would put that under the Halloween.
October, you do.
Was it October?
It was like, it was around October when you started harvesting the corn, bringing it in.
But what was he doing?
What was he doing?
Just trying to kill some kids.
Why was he doing it?
I mean, we were bringing corn in, and me and my buddy were helping him, but we were fucking around, and he lost it. And so he grabbed an axe, and he started chasing us, and we started laughing so hard, which made him even angrier. So we had to run into the cornfield to hide until he cooled down.
Jesus Christ.
Children of the Corn, yeah, prequel.
Does he still work or is he retired?
He died a couple years ago.
I'm sorry.
Actually, we recorded an episode with him, and then like 6 weeks later for our podcast, what is it, episode 50?
I don't remember.
It's weird because on that episode, he has all these grievances with all these people, and he's just naming people first and last name, telling them where they live. And he's like, fuck you, you piece of shit. Fuck this guy, this son of a bitch.
And Drew Brees, let me say something, as a Boilermaker.
So it was almost like he knew he was going to go, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to get it all off my chest.
Wow. So it sounds like the apple doesn't fall far from the tree when it comes to holding guns to people.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm better now than I mean, made a conscious effort to try to change, but yeah. Actually, that'll bring us into our next story.
He's, out of the two of us, like, we're very similar in a lot of ways, but obviously I grew up very, like, polar opposite of everything.
How
he just said.
Who didn't?
I grew up this New England suburb,
First of all, it wasn't just a suburb.
No dead bodies. What do you mean? Well, you gonna say it's a rich town?
Yeah.
It's a nice town.
Andover?
Yeah.
Even North Andover.
I'm middle class. There are people there who are like...
I know it has a mix, but Andover is nice. Andover's there, bro.
Yeah. It's
Phillips Andover.
One of the best private schools in the country. But I was considered...
Presidents go there.
Yeah. George Bush.
Oh,
George W. I think
John F. Kennedy.
Well, we were considered townies. Like, we would fuck with those kids relentlessly. Like, kids who are probably now running fucking...
Of course.
Crazy. But we would just... Because they were just in like one corner of the
town. Did you go to Andover High?
I did.
Did you play baseball?
I did.
Did you play for Andover Blue?
I quit sophomore.
Oh, okay.
I would play for Andover Gold.
Oh, we whooped both their asses.
You would have, didn't Stone have a pitcher who was like 6'7"?
Yeah, Peter Fisher.
He fucking hit my friend in the leg, and my friend like limped down like fucking
Dorn.
Threw
the ball?
Really?
Hit him in the leg?
He had to limp down like Dorn in Major League. This guy fucking threw heat.
Dorn.
He fucking nailed him right. He Charlie horsed him bad.
Oh,
the guy could barely walk.
We've had some like legit studs come out of my town. But Fish is like, he's probably number two, the best out of our town ever. He got drafted, played at Alabama, played in the Twins organization for a while, and he was 6'4" and like built like Clemens and just threw 92 fucking gas. Yeah.
Remember being like 13 and just you're like 6'4" and it looks like he's right on because he's so big.
Oh,
and you're like
huge.
You're like, I'm gonna piss my pants. This guy's throwing fucking legit heat
against Andover Blue. We went to play Andover. We only had 9 guys, but we were always legit. So we're playing against them, and Fish was. Let me see. We had bases loaded. So whenever you'd score, you'd go over to coach third because we didn't have anyone coaching, you know? So I scored.
You had no coach?
Well, we had a coach, but he was like coaching first, so a player would coach third.
Jesus.
So I run over to coach third, and there's 2 outs, and the bases are loaded, and is another base hit, and there's Fish coming from second. He's a big boy, and I wave him home. And he got thrown out by at least 15 feet.
Did he plow the catcher?
No, the guy was just waiting for him. The guy was just waiting for him at home.
And they looked at you like, what the fuck? And you're like, I'm an optimist. I thought he had it.
I was playing second, and Fish was playing first. And he comes and goes, what the fuck was that, dude? Why did you wave me home? I'm like, dude, we got to get out of the inning. We're up by like 10 runs. Let's just go. And
you're like, I got plans. So I got a pool party to go to. The coach of Andover Blue is like a town-wide figure.
Yeah.
And like still coaching to this day.
Is he really?
Old man, but like. Known for like he coached my brother's little league team. I won't say his name, but he would scour like the fucking local country clubs to see if you were at a pool on the day of a game. You're a fucking 10-year-old kid playing little league baseball, and he would get thrown out of games. He would fight parents, fight other coaches. Like this guy was fucking,
fight him.
Yeah, this guy was fucking intense.
I love
it. Like there was a guy who played. He was a little older than my brother. Played football. He coached football too at the time for the high school. And he said to this guy was like a fucking animal, big, jacked fucking guy. And the guy's like, if I were your age, I'd kick your ass. And the guy's like, let's just do it right now anyway. And he backed down. This guy would have fucking
By the way, that's the best line ever. When someone's like, you know, if I were your age, I'd fight you. But I can't obviously now, but had I been, I would have like, destroyed you.
Stop talking about it. Let's see.
I love that the young guy was like, all right then, old timer, you fuck.
The young guy was like a guy you would not fuck with at all. Even to this guy who was like a real old school hard ass.
Yeah.
That guy like that loss probably plagues him to this day to your Pony League baseball team.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Like he's that style of guy.
Yeah.
Like where his kids are like, you know, like in their 40s. This guy's still coaching fucking
he loves
Pony
it.
League baseball.
Yeah.
Kid from my high school played for the Red Sox.
Who?
This kid Ryan Hannigan. He was their backup
catcher. Ryan Hannigan, yeah, catcher.
Went to my college too.
Did he? Where'd you go?
I went to Rollins College in Florida. I started at UMaryland, and then I transferred. Yeah, they were good. A couple, like my town had like a pipeline. We had a bunch of kids who got drafted too. Not only Stoneham.
Well, Stoneham's legit. Dude, Lawson. So much so that I did a show at the Improv recently, and there was like a family from Kansas City there, and I shit on the Royals, and they said something about like, boo, the Royals. I'm like, I go, what are you, a big Royals fan? They go, yeah. And I go, who's the best Royal of recent date? And they're like, Mike Sweeney. I go, you know Joe Vitiello? The guy goes, yeah, of course. And that was a kid from my high school that like was behind Mike Sweeney. That's why he never got to the show. He got up a couple times at the Expos and the Royals, and they knew him. And I was like, fuck yeah.
Mike baby. Sweeney fucked that guy.
Spot and pride, baby. Yeah, fuck Sweeney.
Let's get back to firearms.
Yeah, so tell us the story.
Steve Renazzisi from the league?
Yeah.
I don't believe. Does he even know this story?
Well, let's ask him.
Steve
Renazzisi! Come here, man.
What?
No. I don't know that at all.
Wait, what are you guys talking about? So we did this web series called Daddy Knows Best with him. And then they got somebody wanted to do a second season of it, and they wanted to offer us like a substantial amount of money. And Steve obviously was living. He was on the league at the time, and he was working a lot, and he was living in New York, so it would require him to like fly out here. We also filmed it in his condo that he had in Van Nuys, so
yeah,
he would have to live there while we were filming it, and it was going to be a 7-day shoot, and he was going to be away from his kids and all this, so he was like not that thrilled, but it was like a decent amount of money for us that we needed. It would be like $30,000 for us, so we're like, dude. He's not on board with this. He's like, you know, first season was good. Let's just leave it at that.
He was hemming and hawing, and we were like behind the scenes, like, how the fuck can we get him to do a second season? Because we both need it bad. Yeah. And he was just like, you know, he wasn't dead set against it, but he definitely wasn't. You know, like you'd ask him, he's like, you know, I don't know. Like we just like kind of feel it out.
And what is this act? This impression you guys are doing?
He loves it.
It's Renazzisi.
It's like a Renazzisi, but like if he was like I don't know, like from Philly or like ran a steak and cheese place or something.
Hey, I think both of those are true.
See, and you know if you let stuff like go, like at some point somebody just gives you a hard commitment, so we could just move forward with this.
Yeah.
So we couldn't get that. So we invited him over to Jeff's place to sit down and like have a real conversation about it.
Well, before we came up with a plan.
Yeah.
And we were like, where can we get him that this plan will work? Because we're like, we don't want to do this in public because you'll hear in a second why. But so like a couple we had like a couple misses where we'd be like, meet us at this place. And he would, I can't, I'm shooting. And he canceled. And we're like, fuck.
Because the plan was look like, okay, if he says he doesn't want to do it, so I have a handgun. And so I was just going to pull the handgun out and set it on the table and be like, oh, you know, this thing's itching me. So I was like, you know,
Suge Knight business.
Just like, kind of like an you didn't pull it on him necessarily, but like it's there and there's some intimidation to it. So sometimes he was like, well, meet me at this restaurant. And we're like, no, we can't. Well, you just meet at Jeff's apartment. So finally we get him over there. And we're talking to him about it.
He was shooting that day, and I think it was a long day. He came over.
And he was shooting that night. Y'all about to be shooting too.
I think he had smoked some marijuana. He came in. He said he did, and so we start talking, and then just like shoot, you know, small talk. And O'Neal's like, oh, I almost forgot. He puts the gun out.
I almost forgot.
And O'Neal's sitting on a love seat, and Renazzisi and I are sitting on a bigger couch.
But he's basically sandwiched between us, kind of, because he's in the middle. He's sitting on his left. I'm sitting on his right.
And he looks at me, just like so dumbfounded, like, is that a gun? And I was like, yeah, it's a gun. And he's like, what? Why does he have it? And I was like, he's been carrying a gun lately. I don't know. And then he's like, and he like kind of, you see him like thinking, and he like you can see that he's like terrified.
He
looks at me and he's like, "Is he gonna kill himself?"
Himself, he's right.
And I was like, "No, I don't think he's gonna kill himself.
I think that's for him."
And he's like, "Is he gonna kill us?" And I was like, no one's gonna die. Dude. Like, let's just fucking talk about this show.
And then finally, he goes, "Guys, I'll do the fucking show, okay?" And he just right after that, he goes, "I'll do it, okay? Put the gun away, O'Neal." And so then he did it. I don't think he was happy about it.
To this day, if he goes anywhere with O'Neal, like if we go to an airport with him, we've done some road gigs with him, he's like, you don't have a fucking gun on you, dude. Like every time. Like I said, he's like constantly. By the way, he was like
I'm going to bring a real gun. And I was like, and he's like, and it's going to be loaded. And I was like, why? And he's like, oh, it's not, it doesn't have the same effect if I put it on the table. And it's, I'm like, only you know if it's loaded or not.
Was the safety on?
But no, but it's a mental thing for me when I set it down with that confidence.
Yeah. Your dad used a BB gun, but you went real on it, huh?
My dad, for a while, was driving around with a fully automatic Mac 11 with a silencer. He saw it. It's in Indiana now. And he, you're not, obviously. He had a license to carry it. He had a federal permit for it. But he left it just on his, in his truck for a while because he liked just driving around with it just because he would just shoot it. But he would always leave his windows down. So if you walk by, you looked on the seat, and you see a fucking fully automatic Mac 11 with a silencer on it just sitting out there on some news, some old news, some, like a four-month-old newspaper.
By the way, Ren Azizi with the gun was like, I've seen after school specials. Somebody drops, somebody gets shot, and hey, it's going to be me. I know
it's going to be me.
So he was convinced the gun was going to fall on the floor. It was going to go off, and he was going to get shot either in the leg or whatever.
And he was used to kind of getting led astray by us. So I could understand his apprehension.
Well, you have a... you have another Ren Azizi story, but I'm looking at your list right here. You actually have a Halloween story here at Dan's party.
Yeah.
It's a Halloween party.
It was a Halloween party. A guy we did a podcast with, Boner City, defunct podcast that's become kind of a cult classic.
Boner City, USA.
Now that it's gone, people bring it up to us to this day, which is bizarre. It's been gone for so long, but it's still out there.
Sometimes you'll see, because Dan had, he did that action figure therapy, and so it had a big military fan base.
What's Dan's last name?
Bilak,
yeah.
And so he started getting all these military guys on Boner City. So then we started giving away stickers and stuff. So dudes were putting like on fucking missiles on jets. It would say like Boner City, USA.
Oh my
fucking
God.
Tanks and shit. So it was a pretty, like, dudes would send us photos on the top of like fucking F-16s. They called the glass. It's like Boner City, USA.
That's like crazy.
Proud to be an American. But so we worked at the Comedy Store together, and Dan, I think, started working there well after us, and we would...
This was a while ago.
He had a bad temper, and so it was always fun to, you know, push buttons and see, and we would get him pissed. And so he would have a Halloween party every year for, like, comics. And do you guys ever go to a Halloween party with comics? Like, people would have, like, the most offensive, like, costumes ever. Like, it's like every costume that you see on these, like, band costume lists would be, like, 15 worse than, like, what they... Like, if someone dressing as a Native American would have been, like, very tame to, like, you know, I think wasn't Duncan Trussell, he was, like, Manson with the fucking swastika on his forehead. It's just like, but, like, in character Manson, you're like, this guy is committed and he's not coming out.
And Dan had a nice house up in the hills, like, off of Laurel Canyon. He had a nice place up there. So we're like, what can we do to drive Dan insane? So we always knew Dan's parents were bitterly divorced, like hate each other. He always talked to us about it. So his mom was Mexican, and his dad was like some old Vietnam vet. So we dressed up as his parents. I was his mom. Jeff was his dad.
I wore tidy whities, a bathrobe, and I think I shaved a stash, and I slicked my hair back.
Like, is that what he looked like?
I have no idea, but just my interpretation. And he wore like
I wore my girlfriend's thong and some like
white
stretch pants.
Yeah, like white leggings.
And then like
whale tail,
like a tube top. And I had a bag of oranges because I was selling them on the side of the highway. That was what I said his mom did for a living. And so we went in there. We were fighting in front of Dan all the time.
And like sporadically though, like there were like scenes like whenever
you
come around
to find out their names and really.
Oh yeah, we dug deep on them.
Yeah, we had a lot of information.
People always said we were like tape recorders because we would remember everything everybody ever said at the Comedy Store. And somewhere down the line, we would use it to do something to them or against them. And so we always listened to what Dan had to say. So it was like a memory bank.
Started getting back. Like, at first, it was like, you could see like, okay, I'm going to tolerate this. Hopefully it kind of dies down a little, but like you could tell didn't like it. And then, but as the night wore on, he got a little more drunk.
But then we decided.
It started like, we were going to reconcile. We're like, let us use your bedroom. We're going to go fuck. And that was.
We were on the dance floor.
Wait, did you have a fight at all at the party?
With him?
No, with each other.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
we
yeah,
were
screaming.
Arguing.
Yeah, the whole night.
But then at the end, we were just, like, screaming. We,
yeah.
we said
yeah.
that we loved each other too much. We were too sexually attracted that we had to fuck.
And we're like, can we use your bedroom? And that was, I think, when it turned where he's like, I don't like this at all.
At one point, he was dressed as Batman. He comes out in street clothes with a look on his face like, I want all of this
off?
To be over.
When we saw the costume
Bruce
off,
Wayne now. That's
yeah. when we saw Bruce Bylak.
Bruce Bylak.
We knew we were in trouble because we're like, oh, you could see like he's lost it completely.
So then somebody at the park, something happened. There was a fight out in the street. And so he was so pissed about all this stuff. It finally boiled over. So he runs outside.
Became a different kind of Batman.
With a baseball bat. And he starts screaming that he's going to start like bashing people's heads in. And people start running down the street. So he's running down the street. So the neighbors see him run down the streets. Next thing you know, the cops come. The police helicopter shows up. It's just him screaming in the street, holding the baseball bat. With
There's
the glass
a Klansman chasing Charles Manson down there right now. What the fuck's going on? Circle
Wait
over
a
this area.
It was right over it, like shining down
It was
him.
Shining down on us.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's right off Sunset. So you know
Did
there's
anyone
coppers.
Get that picture?
And no. But dude, I looked at O'Neill and I was like, I think we should get out of here. And he's like, yeah, I think it's time to go.
So then we go, oh, shit, dude. It's boiling it over. Let's, God, yeah, we make our damn. Move now because I don't want to be here for when the cops leave and he's still pissed.
For years later, we would always be like, you having that Halloween party? Because he stopped having it. And he'd be like, shut the fuck up. Like, he would lose.
Wait, how long did it take him to like be cool with you guys again?
Not long. That was the thing about him is he would lose it and then he would like he would be all right.
And then he would see you next day and be like, you guys are fucking idiots. Fuck
yeah.
you. What are you
oh,
doing later?
God, yeah.
And we didn't hang out with him much. Really, we only hung out with him at his party.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was about it. I went to La Jolla with him for a night to make a videotape of ourselves performing.
I think it was that night.
That was it.
I saw his wedding album and I had a couple drinks in me.
Oh, boy.
And I grabbed it and just the cover of it. I didn't even open it, no pictures, and I was doing some pelvic thrusts onto the album, and he did that, I think, led yeah. to the bat as well. He did not like
oh,
it.
Oh, and then his wife loved
didn't,
the fact.
Shockingly, it didn't go well.
His wife loved the fact that we were his parents, and so at one point, we were grinding with her in the middle, so it was like,
oh,
she
my God.
And he's like, get the fuck away from him! She started screaming, grabs her, pulls her away.
It was like the classic case of like him telling her, you're going to hate these two guys, and she's like, you
she
guys are great!
Me.
I yeah. love, they're so funny! And he's like, they're pieces of shit! Get them the fuck out!
Oh, that's the greatest.
So
yeah, so I think seeing his parents, role-playing parents, grinding his wife.
But we were fully committed to it, too, because we'd bring up stuff about his childhood and see if he needed money. Like, we were doing, like, everything.
By the way, he was fully committed to allowing you guys to upset him, because especially if you look nothing yes. like it, he just was like,
oh, yeah,
oh, I'm going to let this affect me and yeah. go full bore with it.
We went to Juilliard for a summer just to prepare for Halloween.
if we would have put as much effort into our career as we did with fucking with certain people, we'd probably be a lot further than we are.
We'd be billionaires.
Yeah, you got a lot of – it's mostly practical jokes. Tell us this one about the pinata.
Oh, man. This is another Renazizi. It's yeah. shocking that he like still has anything to do with
us. Still
this.
Friends with us.
Yeah. This was Renazizi's birthday is July 4th. Is that That's true, right?
Yeah.
So he'd have a party around that time of year. No, I didn't know if it was like the 5th.
Yeah, yeah,
I know it's that time of year. And so he'd have a party. We were writing, I think, during the day, and we knew this party was going on.
Yeah. We wanted to get him something nice.
And I was like, I think we should grab. I was like, I had a pinata. I think I had like an extra pinata.
We were filming
around.
Something with a pinata.
And I had it, and I was like, I still have that pinata. We should bring it to the party. And I was like, but there's no way we like fill it with candy. That's fuck. Who does that?
Yeah. So we were just like,
I was like, what do I have around my apartment that like is rant, like just horrible that we can put into this?
Because you had a roommate at the time who had really disgusting food and never threw anything away.
Yeah. So there were like turkey dogs that were like 8 months overdue.
Oh,
and like just touching them, like to put them in there, I was gagging because they were so slimy.
Yeah.
And so I'm putting them in. I open a can of tuna and just unload it in. Juice. And it didn't de-juice it, just all the juice in there.
There was something that was in the freezer that we had put in there for like years. And then we put that in there, it started defrosting.
A
lot of condiments.
We took a pair of tighty whities. I think that I don't know. I didn't wear them. I think they were for like a. I think it was for the Halloween party. I had them. We made it look like they had been shit and like I think chocolate and some like mustard.
If we could have shit streaked them ourselves, but yeah. No, we just had to go to the bathroom and the party was in like an hour.
Yeah, you got
to
prep for that. Yeah.
So we threw those in.
Then we pissed streaked
pre brew.
Put the orange juice in the front, shit streaked the back.
So we threw the. This thing was like brimming to the top, and then we're like. By the way, someone knowing our reputation may look in it, so we put like loose candy at the top layer of like M&M, you know, jelly bean, whatever the fuck we found.
But we brought it to the party and it was hot out, and so then the bottom starts leaking.
But was this for one of his kids or is this for him?
No, this is for him. Before he had kids.
In the car, the bottom of like the goats like starts like it looks like the thing's just gonna
sag out.
So we're taping the bottom constantly. I brought tape to the party and had it in my pocket so that I could keep going back to the pinata taping it up because it was starting to drip.
So we bring it's heavy by the way, 'cause there's all this shit in it, and we bring it in, and his wife is like so touched. Oh my god, they brought a pinata, and I looked at him, and there were like normal civilians there, which I mean non comedians. I go, dude, we can't do this. We can't. And he's like, it's already in. We can't turn back.
What are you gonna take the pinata away now?
And I was like, all right, I guess. So we put it in, and like all this time passes, and for whatever reason. Someone's like, it's time for the pinata. We're like, and I look at him, and we're both just like, oh my god, this is crazy.
So he ties it up, and he starts.
Who had the rope?
We found like some fishing line or something because he lived in, and there was like a bunch of different garages. And we
fishing
found,
line,
like, some shit, and we hung it from a tree branch.
No, they hung it from his garage.
Oh yeah, garage door.
And it's not smelling right now. It's
no,
not,
that's
like,
what we were worried about.
You know nothing.
Yeah, that was your big worry. Huh?
No one inspect like if. I knew me and him, and I would inspect. No one looked at it, like checked it. This thing was like juicing.
Everyone was, you know why? Because they were all in like the holiday and birthdays.
Yeah,
to, like,
drinking.
Fucking look at this. This is amazing.
It's great. Why would nice guys bring a pinata? It's back to our childhood. Sure.
So then he hits it and. So he's beating it. Finally, some of it breaks open.
No, remember he knocked it down. It was tied up so shittily.
Oh, and then
it wouldn't break for some reason. Bizarrely, it would not break.
Because I had taped it so well. Because there was, and then so some candy actually fell out of it. And Brett Ernst picks up a piece. And he's like, oh, candy.
I looked at O'Neill and I was like, should we? With my eyes. And he's like, no. And he put it near his mouth, but he didn't do it. We were like, my God.
But I was like, you can't do it
now,
dude.
No. But he did like a fake. And we're like, oh, I don't know. Like, but he didn't know.
Then finally... Razzizi rips it open
with his hands.
He looks like he's gutting the tom-tom.
I think the hole was so small that he stuck his hand in. He couldn't even see it. He sticks his hand and he goes, "It's trash."
And he goes, "It's filled with trash." And then he pulls out the tiny whiteys. And Brody's there and he goes, "Are those 36s?
Brody Stevens had the one line. I was like, what a one line.
So then I think the smell hits Razzizi. He starts dry heaving, and I think Brett Ernst also starts. Brett Ernst, because I think he thought about that candy. And then he spills all the stuff out, and everyone's like, oh my God, it's rotten food.
Oh my God.
Shit streaked up.
Razzizi was gagging into his bushes. And we walked over, patted him on the back, and we're like, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, brother.
Happy birthday.
To you and the country.
We didn't go to another birthday for about another 10 years.
He wasn't pissed, but it definitely, I don't think he loved it by any means.
Yeah, people at that party then looked at us a little different. I think even Ernst was like, what are you guys doing?
Like the trash pinata. You've never done this.
But we got a kick out of it. Brody seemed to enjoy it.
Brody right there. Those
Brody
36s.
Brody's been wearing those undies to this day.
He washed them out.
That was probably the beginning of his collapse.
That is could have been. That was what, maybe 2005?
I've seen trash pinatas. You don't get it.
I've lived hell.
Oh my gosh. You guys are psychotic.
Oh, I mean, you are psychotic.
We were young. We had a lot of angst back
then.
We've done some growing up.
We're definitely better now, for sure. I mean, I think you do a lot of soul searching some point.
And when you work at the Comedy Store, like, you're back then, especially, like, we were there in the early 2000s. It was like, unregulated, and all the comics, you were just, it was a fraternity, and you were hazed all the way down. So when you come back up, you're like, I got to give a little of this back.
Yeah.
And just everyone who comes in, you just look at them like, fuck you, because you're giving so much shit from even though people aren't bringing that energy, you just suspect everyone here is here to fuck with me, even though they're not, but that's like the inner atmosphere that's there.
So you have to strike first with everybody.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where our headspace
is. So comics like you, like who you don't come through the Comedy Store system, you come in there and you're like, everyone here is a fucking asshole. But it's like, no, the reason why is like I'm on stage doing open my employee spot, and Ari Shaffir comes up behind me with the curtain, drops to a knee, and hits me in the balls from behind. So it's like, yeah, we're all fucking on guard.
Yeah.
Like, we had a...
That got bad.
Yeah, we had a ball war with Ari Shaffir.
It's fine that we had to have a truce, because I was waking up covering my nuts, like, freaking out, because it was happening everywhere. Like, wherever you were.
Shocked.
Well, like, you'd be like, where? Yeah,
like, well, like, he's on stage performing, and Ari's punching him in the balls, and then you'd punch Ari in the balls, and then I would get punched in the balls. And then we had a truce, and if you broke it, you know those scoops you use to, like, throw a dog?
Yeah.
It's like a ladle. So the thing was, if you broke the truce.
Doggy highlight.
Yeah. Somebody holds you back, and then someone bends that thing back and hits you right in the nuts. And Ari ended up breaking the truce on accident. And so he was good to his word, and we pulled that thing back and hit him in the nuts, and he was down for, like, 10 minutes.
Dropped him.
Because he's huge nuts. Shit. I think it was... It may have even been like black. One of them was black after that.
Oh, that's making me hurt now.
But yeah, no, it got really, really bad. Like, you'd be working or like on the sign, and someone would climb the ladder and punch you in the nuts. Like, it was to the point where you were having like PTSD.
Changing that Comedy Store sign, by the way, is like one of the scariest things you can do. You're on Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah, all
like
that traffic.
2 in the morning.
Yeah.
Drunk, you know how many drunk assholes would do this shit? Oh, I almost got you. And you're like, I'm 15 feet in the fucking air, you piece of shit.
Did you know now they have a guy watch for the other guy? So there's two guys
that
do this.
It's called
a spotter.
Well, yeah, now it's a business. Then it was a fucking, it was a junk
clubhouse. Halfway home.
Yeah. Then it was like, I had people shake it so many times that you're like, I'm going to die. If I fall, I'm dead.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, I got you, man. And you're like, you're a piece of shit.
Tell us about what you guys used to do to Tommy all the time.
So we were pretty mad because Tommy, you know, we worked our way through the system. And
Tommy was the booker.
Tommy Morris. He, a guy who they hired just because basically he was good with Mitzi Shore, more or less. And then he was got into a position of power, which I feel like never should have been given.
Absolutely not.
He had no experience.
What, do you think you're
comedy.
The only one that feels that way?
I think so. Especially in this room.
Yeah.
But he had it like... We never bowed down to him. We didn't like talking to him. And so we always got like the 1 a.m. spots for years. I mean, for a decade.
When we had to work under him too. Yeah. So like, which was hell. And we hosted the open mic for years, which was him whispering, it's your show. Okay. Mitzi says, do what you want. And then like a minute later, okay, here's a list of 15 guys. You got to put him like, Tommy, I hate all these fucking guys and they're not funny. They call me. I have to put them up. And then, so then you put them up and then he's like, the show's long. And you're like, you just gave me a list. 15 guys. So it was just like,
a never.
A lot of hatred.
Tommy was just an all around piece of shit. Like, I used to have to work the phones with him and stuff. And the shit he would say is just, it's terrible. And so at one point, we had quit the Comedy Store for a couple of years. And we decided to just start calling Tommy and just doing fart noises in the phone when he would answer.
Because he would work the phone during the days, but he also worked the phone at night.
Well, he worked that booth.
And we would hit both shifts hard. In his Saturday days, he knew because I never worked day shifts there, but he did. And he's like, it's his like sanctuary day where he brings his guitar in and he belts out his songs. And so we would call during the day shift, and those were the shifts where you could really get him to fuck.
Because we had landlines and cell phones. So like, and one time I think I even borrowed my girlfriend's cell phone. So we had like 5 phones going. So, and there was like 5 lines at the Comedy Store. And while you're blowing fart sounds, you can hear all the other lines ringing.
Yeah.
And so I think the record is 5 in a row where he's like, Comedy Store, this is Tommy. And then it's like, and then he would hang up, then Comedy Store, this is Tommy. And it would just go on.
And we were, and other employees.
And he's got to pick it up because.
No, they would be
that
out.
That could be a sale.
We would get him to times where he would stop picking up for like 2 hours at a
which
time.
I think we cost them some business.
And there would be guys.
I think Ari once is like, Tommy, I've been calling here for like 2 hours trying to get a hold of somebody, see what time my spot is, and nobody's answering.
You don't know what they're doing, okay? So we would have guy like, we knew the manager at the time was this guy Dean Gelber, who we've talked about on other podcasts, and sometimes he would answer the phones. He'd be near the booth and he'd be like, bro, hello, and be like, pfft. And he'd be like, oh, okay. And you would hear Tommy or the other door guys be like, don't engage them, okay? That's what they want.
And he knew it was you guys?
No, he did. No clue.
He never knew.
Never knew.
Never knew. We did it for years. Every day.
He bought me a voice scrambler for my birthday. We would call with that using like, one voice made your voice sound like super deep.
and I pretend to be this
like
black
that shit
guy.
When like gangbangers have their face covered and they're mafia guys.
Pretty much. Yeah. And if you added like a little bit of like urban to it, it sounded like a fucking big black guy. And so I like asked him all these questions for like 5 minutes and I was
and
like,
then we would have friends call from out of town and ask about the shows and have Tommy give him like a 10-minute rundown and then they would ask about specific STDs that he may or may not have.
Yeah, I had a friend, a female friend from high school, loved prank calls. And she had been to the Comedy Store and I like showed her Tommy and she's like, this guy's such a fucking weird guy. And I was like, you got to prank call him. So I was like, here's what you do. And I gave her like, here's what you ask about. So she's like, and he's like, world famous Comedy Store. It's Tommy. And she's like, yeah, is there a show tonight? And he's like, there's three shows, okay? Is he always would get like so pissed right off the bat. She's like, yeah, is there a show in the belly room? And he'd be like, yeah, there's a show in the belly room. And then she, and I would give her like, I'd give her a name to ask, you know, just a random name off the line, you know, whatever name. And she'd be like, is so-and-so in the belly room? They're not in the belly room, okay? They're in the original room. And then she'd be like, oh, okay, so I go around to the back for that? You go to the front.
Yeah.
And she kept being like, so I go to the back, then the front? You go to the front. He's like screaming. And so it's like 5 minutes of these annoying logistical questions. And then some personal information was given, allegedly. And she's like, oh, yeah, what about your herpes? And just silence. But then he goes, silence. And he goes, I heard what you said to me. Wasn't very nice.
I hope you heard it. You were listening.
Yeah, you're still on the phone.
God, that's amazing.
And then we broke him. Yeah, we did. We broke him a few times where he went off on us.
It was a Saturday we broke him.
On you not knowing it's you, though.
For the fart sounds. And then I remember he went on this long tirade. I know who you are. You're a bunch of bitter comics. And then he paused, and then we just farted. And then he hung up. He went on like a 5-minute. He's like, I know you don't get spots here. You're bitter, and you're doing this. And then he's paused, and they were just like, and then he's like,
I think in his mind, he's like, this will get him to come out of character. And it was like,
and we were crying.
No, it will not. Because we always wanted him to respond. That was the first time he'd ever spoken to us. It would always just be violent hang-ups. Sometimes you'd hear a miss. Yeah. Like, you'd hear the receiver, like, trying to get it. It brought us a insane amount of pleasure.
I'll bet that did, man.
When I would hear him ringing up and I'm on the phone and I'm like, oh, he's getting, because he would just answer. Sometimes it would be like 30 calls in a row.
Yeah.
Like you just dedicate 30 minutes to it with four phones. Like we had home lines. We had cell phones.
And he had to because that's his job.
Yeah.
And you know, as much as a fucking piece of shit that guy was, he was passionate about being who he was.
Yes.
Maybe not.
That's all he had.
He was passionate about the store and he was passionate about certain comedians at certain times, but he was passionate about this is who he was. And he was like, I could see him like, I'm not going to miss a call. I can't miss a call.
No, it got to the point.
It was almost
sometimes
an OCD thing.
That's what I love. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
We wanted to see like how many calls. It was like how many licks to get to the center of the Tootsie Pops. Like how many calls will it take for this guy to fucking leave the phones? And he did.
We did five in a row and then you'd have to take a break for like 15 minutes and then you would start the cycle again.
Speaking of Tommy and Dan Bylak, Dan Bylak was once driving by the Comedy Store, parks his car in the red right in front of the fucking front doors. He looks in, sees Tommy in the booth, runs out of his car. Hey, Tommy, fuck you, you're a piece of shit. Gets in his car. He fucking just drives off
for no reason. He hadn't been there. Dan hadn't been there in years, but he just drive by, saw Tommy. He's like,
fuck it.
He got that kind of emotion out of him.
Do you remember Darwin Hines from back in the day?
Yeah.
Black Road comic. Looked like
he used to have one of his
mustache.
Jokes. I know one of his jokes.
What was it?
Whenever I go to a hotel, I always make sure when I masturbate, I put that towel right back where it was on the thing.
He slayed. He slayed.
He did slay.
He was like, he looked like he missed his calling. He should have been, and you always would, O'Neal would always say, he should have been in like Beverly Hills Cop as like the commissioner.
He was like boys with Tim Allen, came up in Detroit with Tim Allen, I think.
Yeah. What's he do now?
He disappeared. But he once wanted to fight Tommy. Was I there? I don't remember.
No, I was working the back door.
Didn't the crowd part like in Gladiator when he's like, sword! I need a sword!
Because
and like,
Darwin hated Tommy.
You're on your
he
own.
He hated Tommy. So then he I think he shoved Tommy against the door. And so we all go, oh, shit. Nobody's helping Tommy out. And we're like, Darwin. And so that's when Tommy realized he had no friends because nobody was there to stop. Everyone's just like, oh, yeah, we want to see Darwin beat the shit out of Tommy.
And Darwin was older. All the younger guys, Tommy felt like he had like something over, you know? But Darwin was like,
Didn't Darwin do like the white man can't jump? He's like, man, fuck this shit. I'm going to get my gun, man. And everyone's like, oh, shit.
He said something like,
were you just like, here, I take this one?
Yeah, no car insurance.
I got
20 years.
Ren Azizi's
got drove around, no car insurance.
That's impressive.
I don't need you just gotta drive careful.
Yeah, I mean, like, fuck car insurance, man. I don't need that shit. And you'd be like, what?
Then one Christmas, we're like, where's Darwin? And Dean Gelber's like, bro, they got him for no insurance. He's in jail.
They really did?
He got clipped.
20 years a good run, though.
Man. That is a real good run.
Think of the money you saved. You saved a shitload.
Probably all added up when he had to get that lawyer and
bail
all
that. Yeah, like,
should have probably still came out ahead.
Should have gone to Geico.
All that.
That's crazy, man.
You have another story on here about the homecoming queen. I want to hear about this one here.
So, yeah, when I was like, so as you could tell from the stories that I've set up, I was a little bit of a rambunctious kid.
Reckless.
I was lashing out.
Yeah.
Just a lot of stuff. Oh, by the way, the claim to the fame for the Valparaiso Motel is that a man fucked a chicken to death in one of the rooms.
Chicken?
Yeah. That's, if you look up Valparaiso Motel chicken, that's the story that will come up.
That's your legend out
that
of
is, it. Because Jay Leno did some jokes on it.
Really?
It's some late night.
I think, it was one of those Jay, like, it was like topical
the
things.
Headline
there's
thing.
Chicken in this motel over here.
Jay Leno, by the way, Andover High School graduate.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Take your fish and put it back in the pond. We got Leno.
Well, how did that story get out?
Didn't
you own the hotel when that happened?
Yeah, so my dad found it, and then my dad knew
chicken?
Who this guy was.
Your dad found the chicken?
We found the what was left of the chicken in the garbage.
Did you at least
and there
eat
was
it?
Blood all over the sheets. And so my dad knew who the guy was because the guy's mom put him up. And the mom – my parents were probably good to a fault. They help people out all the time, and they continuously got burned for doing it. This is one of those situations. Because this guy had caused problems before, but my mom felt bad, and the guy had some mental problems, obviously. And so the mom...
He's having a tough time going vegan. I mean...
Going vegan?
You know what could have stopped it? A chicken porn. If he had just given in.
Just let him have it in that room to himself.
What the police later found out is that he was trying to get a goat from a local farm, and he couldn't.
Jesus.
So all he could get was the chicken.
Oh, my
so
God.
So it gets deep. And this guy actually, he reoffended. Like, he tried to fuck a goose. And two towns over.
Yeah. Two towns he went.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not going to my own.
Also, if you look at a picture of this guy, you'll understand. You go, oh, this guy is a chicken. He has one eye that's a little lower than the other. Like, he was clearly, his mother may have done a lot of
boozing.
I'm
typing Valparaiso Motel, and I typed in CH, and chicken came right up.
There you go.
Man with history of abusing animals charged again.
That's the, again on the.
Is the picture there? God. This fucking guy is unbelievable. Oh, you got to pay for it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so my dad found the parts, so he calls the guy's mom, like, you got to pay for the sheets because there's blood all over the sheets. And I think something like she said, I'll be – someday he's like, you know what, fuck this. I'm calling the cops. So he called the cops, and then that's how the story ended up getting leaked out because I think they did – the man got arrested. They put it in the paper. You know, because obviously in a small town, that's news.
You got to warn the other proprietors.
Watch out.
Watch out.
This guy comes in with an animal pen. Fucking clear out.
But my mom hates that story.
Horse trailer. You're like, shit.
So people started actually calling our motel doing what we did to Tommy, basically, for years after this happened. Because
of course they did.
They knew my dad, they would get a rise out of him. So like local, like Chicago radio stations.
Not all they might get out of him.
Chicago radio stations would call my dad at the motel and then ask about rooms, and then he'd, you know, tell about it, and they'd be like, you know, can I have the room where the guy fucked the chicken? And then my dad would flip out, be like, you cocksuckers, you motherfucker, you come here, I'll fucking kill you.
Which is what they want. They're like, yes.
Of course. Like, yeah.
Ratings.
For years, though, it would happen.
KROS.
You're still recording, Bob? Keep it rolling. Keep it rolling. He's still going.
And he would never stop. So, and I remember even when I went back, even after I moved out to LA, I would go back, and occasionally I'd watch the motel if it was like Thanksgiving or something. I was there for a few days to help my mom out. And kids would call all the time. Like, it became like that urban legend. Like, high school kids would constantly call. But when they would call me, I would start fucking with them, and some of them would get pissed, and they're like, I'm going to drive down there and beat your ass. And I'm like, dude, you know where the place is. Like, come on down. So, but my dad would just, you know, they could get a good, he would lose his temper pretty quickly. So it was good. But yeah, so that's how it leaked out. But were we talking about the homecoming?
Yes. Classic deflection. He's like, let me lead you down another street.
So when I was 15, I was a sophomore in high school. And by the way, I hated school. I was never good at school. I was dyslexic, and like, nobody diagnosed me until I was like in the fifth grade. So I couldn't read, and everybody, they put me in special education and stuff. So I just had like a poor taste for school. So I was always looking for ways to just say, fuck you. So this was a good way. I was big into paintball at the time, and I thought, hey, they do an annual homecoming parade that they do a float. It goes through the town. And I was like, everybody loves it. And I was like, that's a good way to show disrespect for this piece of shit school that I don't like. So I told my buddy, you know what we should do is take our paint guns. And I know this parking lot that's like up on an elevated area where the parade goes through.
Dallas all over. It's fucking crazy. God, we could go get on the grassy knoll.
There's a book depository building right by the parade route.
The CIA came to me and was like, look. And we had nothing against the homecoming queen. Actually, she wasn't even the target. We were just going to shoot up the float. It was just, it was kind of.
Do you remember what the float, what the theme was? Do you remember what you were shooting
up? I just remember
up?
There was like football players, and then they had. They had the homecoming queen and they had the cheerleaders and stuff. So I don't even remember.
Like under the sea and shit. You know, they do all that. There's a mermaid out there.
I remember that there was like a.
Shot her tail off.
Under the sea.
The middle of it was that giant, like, paper, you know, poster board paper. Yeah. And there was some shit on that because I remember because one of the paintballs hit that. But.
Not the sign. Get it down. Get it down.
So as they're coming through. We're getting in position, but somebody sees us.
Somebody sees them.
And they yell.
Wait, what are you dressed in? Are you in all black, or what are you wearing?
He's wearing literally the clothes that I was wearing at school that day.
he's wearing a night scope during the day.
It was picture day, too.
also, it was a parking lot that was elevated. It wasn't like we're hiding behind a tree.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that elevated, so someone saw us crouching down.
Did you have the guns in anything, or just out in the open?
We had the guns out in the open. Pistols. We brought pistols instead of like full-on like rifles. Rifle style, because we thought we could conceal these in our pants. But if you ever seen paintball pistols,
yeah, they're long,
still
shit,
way bigger
yeah.
than a regular gun.
But how far away would you say you are from the target?
Not far. So there's like a side. There's the street sidewalk. Then it's literally like a 10-foot wall, and then this parking lot. So we're like, I don't know, 15, 20, probably 20 feet with the wall and stuff like that. We thought we were not going to be seen, but clearly we were pretty visible. So then we're like, oh shit, someone saw us. We started running. So
wait, after you shot?
No, we hadn't shot yet.
Oh, okay.
So one of my buddies was like, "Oh, we should not do this." And I was like, "Fuck that, dude. We're doing it. We've gone through this much effort. We're gonna do it." So we found another area as the
that's his answer to everything.
The pinata. Yeah.
And once he commits, he's in.
So as the float is going back to the school, there are these row of bushes on a golf course, and by that time we were gonna try. We had to get ahead of the float. And we also ran into another couple of friends of ours, and they're like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "Oh, I've got this great idea. We're going to shoot." So, but now, by this time,
and
now
you
like,
ran into them up in the bushes. What the fuck?
No,
are
as
they
we're
all
driving to go, we saw them at a stop sign, and they waved us down. Like, "What are you doing?" And one of my buddies was bailing. He's like, "I don't want to shoot." So another guy from the other car, he's like, "Oh, I'll do it with you," because we had two guns, so we needed two shooters just to make sure we fuck some shit up. So we'd get out ahead of the float. We park. We jump out into the bushes. And as the float's going by, we just both fucking fire two shots. Nobody knows what happened. Somebody screams on the float. We think we may have hit somebody. We don't know where. And so we shove the guns into our pants, and we walk out of the bushes, and there was a teacher standing right there. And he was my math teacher. And he's like, "Hey, Ryan, what's going on?" I was like, "Oh, hey, what's up?" And we just kept moseying along. So then that night they had a bonfire, and the rumor was that she had been shot. I guess so. The paintball had hit her in the back of the shoulder, and it was red. So she reached back, and she thought it was blood.
Oh my god!
So the rumor was that
you had PTSD from the nuts, man.
Holy shit! She had been shot by a rifle from a rival school of ours.
Oh, they're thinking they're going to intimidate our football team with these sort of antics.
That's
homecoming.
The story.
That's what had happened.
The football game
at the bonfire. The word was like, "Did you guys hear? Like somebody with a rifle shot our homecoming queen." And we're like, "Oh, that's crazy." So then we're like, "Oh, cool. All right. Everybody thinks somebody from a rival school did this." So then Monday comes around, and first period, there's an announcement that this woman had been, the homecoming queen had been shot with a paintball. And if anybody has any information leading up to it, there's a $200 or $300 reward for it. So I was like,
"You're like, shit, that ain't,
I know, I know somebody involved."
So I was like, "Oh fuck!" So I got the hall pass. I went to the bathroom, and I knew where my other buddy was. That was part of this, and so I was like waving, like, so we met in the bathroom. I was like, "Oh shit, dude! Like, who the fuck knows?" And then we realized a whole shitload of people know, and so we're like, "We're fucked." And so we're like, "Dude, whatever you do, you get called in. Don't say anything. You just fucking deny, deny, deny." So sure enough, like 2 hours later, I get called in the principal's office. And he's like, "Look, we heard that you guys..." So he's trying to grill me, and I don't crack. I never have. And I was like, "I don't." So then he's... So by the end of this, I'm like, "Look, I think what happened here is a travesty. I'm a paintball guy. I think this gives paintball a black eye."
Now it's spinning and it on.
I'm a paintball enthusiast.
The people that are, totally. Are out to get paintball.
So I said, "I'll do everything I can to help find out who did this." And they're like, "All right, we appreciate all the help. And like, let us know whatever information you can gather."
He wrote a book called "If I Did It." A year later.
So then I know that my two other buddies got called in there too. And that's all I knew. And so I suspected maybe one of them might crack, but they claim they didn't. They claim they didn't say anything. So I'm like, "All right, dude, I'm out of this. I'm free and clear." So then the next day I get called into the principal's office, and he has like the shell of one of the broken paintballs just sitting on his desk.
Oh my
and
God.
Is he wearing a monocle?
He goes, "I know you did it."
"I know you did it.
I've dusted it for prints."
So now it's the principal and the vice principal, and they're like, "We know you did it." And I'm still, still denying. I'm like, "I have no idea what you're talking about." And he's like, "Look, and one of your people that knows about this told us he narked on you." And I still denying. Finally, they call my mom. I'm still denying. And then my mom works out some sort of a plea deal. Like, if he fucking cops to this, like, will you not expel him? And so finally they're like, "All right, look, you get everybody confesses to who was involved and what they did." So all I said was that I did it. But I didn't rat anybody else out. I found out later that, like, one of my best friends at the time, who was in his defense, he was dirt poor. He took the fucking money and ratted me out.
Ah, he took the reward.
Yeah. Where did the school get the money? Was it out of the principal's pocket?
I mean, I think it was probably, like,
that's petty cash.
$100
went to the lunch cash. Money, the fucking register. Like,
he took that $300 and shacked up at the motel.
Unlimited porn, man.
So then I got suspended for a while, and then I had to do community service, but I didn't get expelled, which I think today, I mean, you're fucking done.
Did the girl ever say anything to you or her parents?
No, so my sister was friends with the girl, but I think the girlfriend or the girl's boyfriend knew about it because we were in gym class and we were playing baseball, and I was on one of the bases, and he came storming in and he fucking leveled me, like, hard.
Punch in the face?
Just fucking full shoulder. He was also a football player.
This is baseball, not football, man.
Yeah. And he just fucking bashed me to the ground, and I didn't say anything because I knew obviously that was the situation.
Did the teacher say anything?
No, nobody said anything.
Did you stand up? We good? We even? Is that it?
No,
that's probably what the teacher said.
I had the wind knocked out of me, and I was like, it took me a couple minutes to get up, and I was just like, "All right, I get it." And then I just treaded lightly around him the rest of the time, and then he was a senior, and I was like a sophomore, so they were all gone the next year, so.
And then you took over.
Yeah. And then I kept going. I went, and when I was 21, I went back to the high school graduation dressed as a mentally handicapped kid to go get a diploma.
What?
Just 3 years after graduation, you just showed up on graduation day and got in the alphabetical line.
Yeah, I had my old cap and gown, and my buddy's little sister was graduating, so I knew where they gathered for, like, to march everyone out. So I got next to her. And I had these big old buck teeth and these fucked up glasses. And she's like, "Don't even look at me." She's like, "Don't say a fucking word. Don't act like you know me."
Yeah.
And so I sat through the whole procession. And then they call you up and, you know, you got to mark. Because there's like 500 kids in the high school or in that class. And so, you know, they march you up and you're supposed to have a piece of paper that has your name on it. And so I actually just stood up there and let, like, people keep going by me. because I was like, I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do because I don't have the paper, but yeah. I don't know
You're
how to pull
insane.
This off.
You are insane.
What did you think you were doing, though? What, who you were doing this just for yourself?
I was doing, and my buddy was filming it, and I was going to grab the mic and make a speech and stuff. So
speech he's got.
Was it pre-written or just from the heart?
I was going to be like an improvised. I had some bullet points that I wanted to hit. So then my old German teacher was calling out names on that side. And he's like, where's your slip? And so I literally just pretended that I was mentally handicapped. And so he didn't want to question it. So he just said, what's your name? And I said, my name's Peter Zacharias. And so he
which
just called
long,
it out
which
there.
Which is a long name for someone who can't answer a simple question.
But Peter Zacharias is going one of the last at the graduation with totally. A Z.
Because that was not the name that I originally had in mind. Which,
yeah, I mean,
that was not the name I had in mind, but that was the name Peter. I had to go with a Z at the end. So I was the last
guy.
So
teachers know every fucking kid in that school.
Yeah.
And they clearly know you're not a kid from that school.
But I think one teacher thinks the other teacher probably knows him. Or this, you know, nobody questions a guy who looks like he's retarded.
And
so.
You're 21.
I'm 21. I also have a 96 tassel hanging off of it. And this is like 99 or 2000, something 96. Like that. And also, my gown is 90. Super faded. Like, they're all bright green. And for some reason, mine, because it's been sitting upstairs, is like just a, there's two different Christ. Colors on the sleeves.
That's crazy.
So then I go up there and nuts. They give me a diploma jacket because, you know, they don't put the diploma in there. You get the diploma later. They give me like flour and then I grab the mic and I start talking. And then the vice principal rips the mic out of my hand and he's like, go sit down. And so then I go sit down. You know, they do throw the cap.
You stay.
He's like, I want to apply to college.
How'd you even get a seat? How'd you get a seat?
Yeah, he did all right. He got a full ride to Purdue.
Yeah, he played
baseball. I have a feeling that there was probably either they have extra seats or there was one kid at the very end because I was sitting next to my buddy's sister and their last name starts with a W.
Yeah.
So I was kind of towards the end, but still kind of, you know, there were still people around. So I just sat down and I knew if I was surrounded kind of, you know, in. Just engrossed in all these people, like it'd be less suspicious.
Graduated twice,
but then so then the cops got involved though because they then word
what?
Spread that. So I'm working, I'm selling cars at the time in the summer.
What kind of cars?
Used? I sold Toyotas,
new
and used. Yeah, I sold them for years. When I used to race cars, I would sell them to pay for racing, and then when I was going to college, I would sell them in the summer. So then I get a call from the police department saying that.
I wonder why they would look at you,
right? Right.
They're like, is O'Neill in town? Give him a call.
Give him a call.
And so they asked, like, did you do this? And they're like, the school wants to press charges against you. Actually, the cops,
what's
the Texans were kind of laughing about it. So they wanted to get me for
impersonating a handicapped
They
person.
Wanted to get me for trespassing, and they wanted to get me for some sort of charge of disrupting an event or something for not being there.
A ceremony.
And theft, because I still had the diploma jacket. So so we have a lawyer. Obviously, with my dad, so we always have a lawyer on retainer. So we call him, and he's laughing about it. He's like, this is ridiculous. He's like, we'll go in and meet with the school board. So I went in to meet with the school board members.
Meet with the board.
And the lawyer.
Were they pissed you showed up with a lawyer?
They were pissed that he showed up.
Yeah, exactly.
So their plea was like, you ruined a sacred ceremony for all these kids.
It's sacred.
And so I had to bring the diploma jacket back. I said I would return that so I wouldn't get theft charges. So they agreed to drop the charges if I wrote – this is the best part. If I wrote a fucking letter.
Was it the same principal, by the way, that you had?
Yes.
And he's like, this motherfucker, I should have expelled him when I had the chance.
Oh, well, we used to drive by his house at night and light it up with paintballs. Like, one in the morning, we'd all jump out. There'd be like six of us, and we'd just shoot the whole house up with paintballs, and then we'd fucking get in the car
Jesus.
And leave.
You're lucky you weren't shot dead in those same streets. In Indiana,
dude,
doing
you can't
that?
Kill. We used to hunt down criminals that would escape and hide out on our farm from a fucking prison nearby. My brother and my buddy, we used to get in the truck and drive around and search the ditches because my grandmother lived out there.
Did
my
you
dad's
ever find
like,
any?
No. Oh. It only happened twice. It's pretty hard to get out of that Westville Correctional Facility. So then we go ahead and we negotiate this deal. I write this letter, and this letter is the most sarcastic thing. Talk about how sorry I am that I did this. And they mail it out to all the 500 incoming seniors to prevent this from happening. And I still have the letter, and I can't believe that they would even send this out to fucking people. I mean, it was the It was the most sarcastic piece of shit.
And then they sent it to people.
They mailed it. They go, thank you. This is very sincere. And they mailed it out to, because my another buddy,
say,
whose sister was an incoming. She was an incoming senior, and she got the fucking letter, and she's like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever
read.
They're
like, can you add language about the homecoming floats? Just seriously. In the last paragraph,
an addendum,
please.
Right here.
But yeah, as you know, I mean, you grow up in a small town, there's not a lot to do, so you just, it's worse than big cities, because, dude, people are always getting in trouble.
Yeah.
You're looking for trouble.
And there's nothing to do.
Yeah.
Especially when your mom's introducing you to death and sex
and porn
and everything else at a young age.
It was an interesting lifestyle. We actually, there was actually some kids that grew up in a motel like about a mile down from us that we were friends with. They had the same living situation
as us. Yeah.
So we hung out with
them.
You
need someone to relate to, you know?
That friend's name? Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs.
It was that motel garage that he founded Apple.
He came up. Everybody can go a different way. You know?
You never know. You never know what happens.
Well, guys, we are at that time. This has been a lot of fucking fun. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for doing this.
Congratulations, by the way, on a great, great podcasting.
Thank you, man. Yeah.
You know, when we used to drive around for Yummy, I would listen to you guys.
Are you serious?
I swear to God. I remember specifically listening to one of the first ones with Steve Simone.
That was a Halloween one, too, or a ghost story one.
Oh, maybe that's why.
He got
so
scared he left the table and covered his ears and wouldn't come back till we were done. Yeah. One more time, promote your social media, anything you want.
At Danish and O'Neill across the board, Twitter, we have Instagram. That's our podcast name, at Danish and O'Neill on iTunes, everywhere else.
At Ryan O'Neill Comedy on Instagram. See us at the Bell House November 11th in New York. Get your tickets now. Ari Shaffir, us. We're going to be reading Shooter.
Yeah, check it out.
Awesome. Boys, thank you so much. As always, Jay Larson Comedy, jlarsoncomedy.com on all social media.
That might be the first time you've ever messed that up.
I'm half asleep.
That's a good streak over there, brother. Thank you so much. This was a lot of fucking fun, man.
No, thank you guys for having me again, man. Like, I'm glad that we got to put our names on this podcast.
It's
always been a great podcast.
I am Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to you all next Tuesday.